And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do it. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome into the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton, a.k.a. SEC Mike, joined as always by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Well, if you can't tell already, Shane and I are going to be stumbling through this podcast. We've both been drinking, so we're going to keep this one relatively short, but we wanted to, you know, we didn't want to leave you guys hanging, so we definitely wanted to power through here and try to get through a shorter episode, and hopefully we plan on bringing you a bonus Saturday sober edition.
Yeah, that my wife's boss had a little thing that we had to go to, and the only way to get through that is with a lot of alcohol. So I apologize. I'll try not to ramble as much, and let's do this. Let's talk some football.
All right, Shane, let's go to your boy, Ed Orgeron. I thought he had some interesting comments for, you know, he met with the media after both of his quarterbacks, Narcisse and McMillan, left the program. They're down to two. And he had some interesting comments. He was asked, you know, could this potentially help LSU, as strange as that sounds? So let's go play this little clip, and then we'll discuss it.
I've seen a complete difference in offense the last couple of days. There's more consistency. Guys are playing with a lot of fire. They're better computer balls. There's still a long way to go. But I see a pep in those guys' step. Obviously, with four guys, nobody knew what was going on or who was going to be the starter. And now with two of them, obviously one of those two guys is going to start.
All right, Shane, so most people would not think that losing two quarterbacks, going down to just two scholarship quarterbacks would be a good thing there, but what are your thoughts on Orgeron's comments?
Yeah, what about making a positive out of a negative? I like it. Coach O, kudos to you, brother. I like it because he's right, you know. I mean, some of these universities that are having these quarterback competitions, Tennessee being one of them, you know, you're hearing about McBride and JT getting in there. I mean, that's four mouths to feed. Now he's just got two. He can focus. And I think I like it. It's a positive thing for him.
Yeah, and kind of as you've noted previously, Orgeron, he's never seen a question he didn't like. He couldn't smile his way through. And I think he did a great job smiling through this one because he was, like you said, he probably, probably wants to punch a wall behind the scenes, but he's just going to keep on smiling.
The raging Cajun, man.
And speaking of smiling through some pain there, I thought the best moment of Orgeron's latest press conference came at the very end. He was asked to provide his thoughts on the upcoming Clemson series, and while he initially dismissed it as something he didn't really want to touch on, he finishes it with a great line. So just, we're going to play this clip and just hang on to the very end. That's the best part of this.
I'll take it one day at a time. Yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff going on.
You're not looking
at 2025? I just hope I'm coaching the team. It'll be fine with me.
All right, Shane, Orgeron. I mean, that's the perfect answer when you're on the hottest of hot seats in the SEC, isn't it?
Oh, I love it, man. The optimism, you know. I hope he's here 2025. I hope LSU never needs another coach again. I hope Coach O's here. And I'm telling you, they need to get him in front of the camera more because more fans are going to support him. And I think they're going to be all right this year. I really do. I think they strong defense down there. That's going to keep them in just about every ball game. So if they get this quarterback situation figured out, hopefully he'll be here in 2025.
Well, Shane, I thought the best response, because I actually tweeted out Orgeron's comments there, and someone tweeted out in response, the rest of the SEC hopes he's still coaching there in 2025 too. So that kind of, it's reminiscent of all those Keep Butch Jones shirts. So hopefully it doesn't go that way for Tiger fans.
Yeah, they ain't got it that bad.
All right, Shane. So this kind of came on our radar right before we jumped on the podcast here, but there was a really interesting AL.com article by a guy named Rainier Saban, and it's not the same Saban as Nick Saban, but he kind of wrote an article on the latest Alabama training camp episode 2 for the it's called Training Days Rolling with the Tide, the ESPN2 documentary. And you know, he made some interesting points that I didn't really get on my first viewing of the show, but kind of noted that obviously the big story now, of course, this similar to Hard Knocks, this is always like a week behind because we have to film it and edit it. But obviously the biggest story last week was Jalen Hurts and his comments, and the show just kind of revolved around it. But I thought it was particularly interesting his narrative he got from the show, and that it was basically Nick Saban and Alabama trying to control the message, trying to leave it as if everything's bright and sunshiny there in Tuscaloosa, while there may be some turmoil behind the scenes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'll tell you, man, this show's kind of disappointing me. I think they missed it here, because I was hoping that it would be closer to like a Hard Knocks for college football, but you could tell this thing's edited so much. I mean, I think Saban's spending more time editing this thing than he is probably watching film. So, it shows, because like you said, when I watched it at the end, it just felt so manila. And then when I saw that article, I was like, damn, he's right. You know, they're trying to convince everybody out there that everything's okay, that there's no turmoil in the locker room. And we all know that's not true. So that just kind of defeats the purpose of having that show, if you ask me.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that this article does not touch on, they kind of focused quite a bit on their new defensive coordinator, Tosh Lapoy, and just, you know, they tried to sell him as the next great coach to come through Alabama. And you know, we don't know if he not to say that he definitely won't be, but it's kind of interesting because we've all kind of seen Jeremy Pruitt in the past couple months, kind of studied him and seen his behavior, and you know, the gap between Pruitt and this Lapoy seems to be massive, in my opinion. And that's before you even take into consideration that Lapoy's never called a defense. He's never been a defensive coordinator. He's been an outside linebacker basically his whole career. So I don't know. I mean, this, we've been kind of harping on it all offseason, but Alabama's got the talent to basically out-talent just about everybody. But these coaching moves could catch up to the Tide this year.
I think so too, man. I think this coordinator – you know, of course, granted, I think Saban's on this defense majority of the time in practice. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's helping out. But I think it's going to hurt more the offense side of the ball. So, I don't know. I'm curious, because when you hear Saban talk, he makes it sound like nothing's changed, that it's going to be the same Alabama offense, the same Alabama defense. But you got two totally different coordinators coming in, and I think they're just trying to keep everything the same. I don't know. In this league, if you don't change something, if you don't mix things up a little bit, it's going to come back and bite you. So that's my only concern, especially if I'm an Alabama fan.
All right, Shane. So from the possible demise of one dynasty to the possible demise of a rising dynasty, I think you may have figured something out here in Athens. What's going on here that's got your radar up?
Oh, the curse, son. The curse is alive. And I feel bad. I mean, I'm not making light of any injury or any accident or anything like that. I don't want to give that impression. But the things that are coming out of Georgia right now are – they're not on-field accidents, you know. You got Fromm hurting his hand at the lake and then a tree falling on his house. And then you got now this tight end having a motorcycle accident. I mean – it's just one thing after another coming from Georgia. You know, it seems like every day they've got somebody on that list.
Yeah, and for anybody that missed the news there, freshman tight end Luke Ford, U.S. Army All-American, as Shane noted, he got in a motorcycle accident today. Thankfully, he's going to be fine. He's not expected to miss any time, to my knowledge. You know, we're still a couple weeks away from the season, but I think he got a little scraped up and that's about it, but he was in a one vehicle accident. I think he just kind of just tipped his motorcycle over, what have you. But and this was early and not too early in the morning. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning, so there's no alcohol or anything, nothing mischievous going on here. But it's odd, the evidence is mounting that Shane, kind of one of his crazy ideas here, there might be something to it.
Yeah, seriously. And you would think that'd be a kind of a rule not to have motorcycles on the football team, especially during football season. But Who am I? I'm not a coach.
All right, Shane, from one misfortune to what seems to be a continuous string of misfortune, let's jump down to Fayetteville, Arkansas, where Chad Morris, he had his press conference on Thursday, his latest one, and basically it was a running down the list of who's out, who's injured, and they've lost another offensive lineman. This time, Dalton Wagner, he's had his appendix removed. He's supposed to be out for 2 weeks, which, you know, that's right when the season rolls up. They're already down three offensive linemen, now a fourth. They're having to move defensive linemen to the offense. and he's not the only one. Running back T.J. Hammonds. Defensive lineman Randy Ranzi. Running back Rakeem Boyd. Tight end Jeremy Patton. I'm going to play this clip of Chad Morris just kind of speaking on all the injuries they got going on.
You know, you look at it and you just kind of shake your head and go, well, okay, well, you know, what's next? You know, who's next now? That we got to move around. And so, but again, you know, you can't dwell on it. You don't have time to dwell. You just got to go, okay, we've been dealt that hand. We got to move. Nobody's going to feel sorry for us. Nobody's going to stop. And we got to respond. And that's just part of it. It's part of life. You got to have the next guy ready to go. And that's what they're doing. And Dalton will be back out here. Hopefully see him around this afternoon. And he'll be back in meetings. So it'll probably be just, you know, in 2 weeks, it'll be at his call on that.
All right, Shane, Arkansas is going to, I think by the season opener, they're going to have about half a team. Do you think that?
Golly.
How are they going to survive this?
I do feel sorry for him. I don't care what he says, because Morris, he's coming into a nasty situation. I mean, the team's not that good. And I think he's going to make it better, but, you know, this isn't what he needs, especially his first year. Do you remember that movie Little Giants?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think he needs to take them offensive linemen 10 minutes before practice and just wrap them up in bubble wrap and just say, listen, put a pink jersey on them, no contact, whatever. Just go through the motions, you know, try to get these guys healthy. I know he can't do that, but it just seems like, golly, I'm telling you, I don't even know who they're going to have starting on that offensive line now.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for them, to be sure. And, it, you know, it's compounded because, obviously, he's taken over for Brett Bielema, ran a completely different system. And this is why I'm so low on Arkansas. It's not an indictment on Chad Morris, and it's not even a complete indictment to some of the talent they'd have there, because they do have talent. But you're just going night to day to what they want and to what they are going to be. And you compound that with all these injuries, and they're just not going to even have the bodies to begin with to be competitive in the SEC. So I think Arkansas is going to be the worst team this year. I think all these injuries kind of confirms that. But hopefully they can surprise a couple people in the SEC this year.
For sure. For sure. And you never know. I mean, it is the SEC. You see stuff like that every day, you know. But, you know, brighter days are ahead for Arkansas, I truly believe it. I think they got a great coach there. It's just this year, just hang in there, Razorback fans, because it's going to be a long and bumpy road.
All right, Shane, I believe you saw this as well, because we touched on it, but the old Tennessee-Arkansas 1998 Classic was on SEC Network the other night.
Yeah.
And of course, a Tennessee fan is going to make fun of Clint Sterner. Vol Nation never misses an opportunity to take a swing at someone. You got to appreciate him for that. And a Tennessee fan tweeted at Clint Sterner, Arkansas just got the ball back after a fourth down incompletion, scores 24-22. What happens next at Clint Sterner?
Oh,
and Clint Sterner replied, as if the worst moment of his life is not bad enough. He has to relive it probably 30 times a year, but at least he came back with a response. Here's Clint Sterner's response to a Tennessee fan named Jake Wallman. You sit on your ass and watch a bunch of athletes battle it out for the final few minutes. Hell of a game then and now. Thanks for watching.
Oh, good for him, man. He got the last punch in. Did he ever respond back to that? I think I wouldn't have said anything if that were me. I would just.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a comeback for that. So I didn't even look into it, to be honest with you.
I feel bad for it. I mean, I do. I mean, that was a great year. For Tennessee, a lot of things really fell our way. Syracuse with the pass interference and Florida. And then, you know, you got this game. And, you feel bad for somebody that causes a game. And he played a great game that day, but he just made that one mistake. And it's just unfortunate for them. I can't imagine having to shoulder that for 20 years, you know.
All right, Shane, let's jump down to Auburn. The only note there, Auburn announced a couple of home-and-home series, which I know you will enjoy. Auburn and Baylor are going to play 2025, 2026, so that's pretty cool. But even better, Auburn-UCLA, another home-and-home, 2027, 2028. Thoughts on Auburn, you know, at least getting some premier teams there facing off?
Yeah, for sure, man. This is huge. Now, this was a home-and-home, right?
Yeah, they're both home and homes.
Oh, that's great. No, I think that's great. That's good for Auburn, too, you know, get a little light in Texas, you know. They're getting a lot of recruits out that way anyway. So that's interesting. Have they? I don't even know if they've ever played, have they? Or you probably, without research.
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure. But, you know, I particularly like when these SEC teams go to California because, you know, like we've touched on before, I bet you by the time they go out to UCLA – out to L.A., you know, I think they'll make it a longer trip. And I think a lot of the guys on Auburn's roster probably never even been out there. So just free trips, essentially, you know, to go out there. I know they're going out there for a game. But, you know, just new experiences are great for everybody. And I just wish more SEC teams obviously did this. And they don't have to. A lot of SEC teams refuse to leave the South. But it's pretty neat whenever they do.
Yeah, no, I like it. Tennessee did this a while back with Cal, you know, I was at the Cal game when they came to Knoxville, and that was a pretty good experience, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember. I've been drinking a little bit, but seems like we were chanting SEC for a little bit. So,
yeah, Shane, speaking of that Tennessee Cal game, that was one of the worst moments of my life. I enjoyed the game. I actually went there with you. And I remember we got so drunk, I was sitting with your buddy Sam, and I think it was in the second or third quarter, you know, you're sweating your ass off. I believe it was the first home game of the year, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I had to take a dump, and if anyone's taking a sweaty dump in Neyland Stadium, I feel bad for you. I've been there, and that was one of the worst. I wouldn't have wished that on my worst enemy.
Yeah, it's in pretty rough shape. There it was, especially back then. So, I'm sorry, I forgot all about that. I knew it was a bad experience for somebody, but we did win the game.
Well, there you go. All right, let's get off that subject and go down to Starkville, where Mississippi State announced they're going to have metal detectors effective immediately for the upcoming football season. And I got a lot of interaction on Twitter. A lot of people thought this was some kind of, you know, them announcing that they're no longer having cowbells, but that's not the case. This is actually a SEC rule that they're demanding that all football stadiums comply and basketball stadiums comply with by the year 2020. And I think Mississippi State is just the first one to just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I put on there it was preparation for that Florida game week 5.
Well, that makes sense, too.
Yeah, keep them somebody said keep them iron skillets out. But let me ask you, so they can still bring those damn cowbells in there?
Yep, they had a video and everything. They showed it was actually Joe Moorhead, Nick Fitzgerald, and the mascot, I believe his name's Bully, just showing fans what to do with your cowbell to – so it doesn't go off in the damn metal detector.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. Well, you better get to the games a little early because I tell you what, this it may be a little harder getting into those games if they put these metal detectors up, which I'm glad they are. I mean, I'm surprised that all of them aren't doing it right now. So hopefully, you know, we'll start seeing it more. But like I said, you know, sometimes it's a pain in the ass to get in some of these games and having to go back and forth through a metal detector, you better get there a little early.
All right, Shane, the last thing I wanted to touch on, I saw some SEC betting odds. These are props for SEC quarterbacks. Which quarterback will throw for the most yards this season? And this is just regular season stats. And, of course, Drew Locke is the favorite at plus 200. Jordan Te'amu from Ole Miss, he's at plus 300. Jake Bentley of South Carolina, he's at plus 600. Jarrett Stidham of Auburn, plus 800. Jake Fromm from Georgia, also at plus 800. Tua and Nick Fitzgerald, they're both at plus 1,200. Nick Starkel from Texas A&M at plus 2,000. Kyle Shermer Vanderbilt plus 2,000. And actually, I don't think this is going to be my favorite, but the best bet on the board, in my opinion, Joe Burrow, LSU, plus 3,000. What are your immediate thoughts on those betting odds?
Well, I'm not surprised Locke's up there, because when I thought about yards, that's the first one that popped in my head. But I tell you what, an interesting one is Bentley. Just because they've made so many comments about one-on-ones, and if they set to take advantage of it, I think we're going to see more of a vertical offense out of them and a lot more throwing. So that's probably my favorite on that list. What was his odds?
At plus 600, so he's the third best odds, but you know that's generally the sweet spot. I think almost everyone's going to bet Locke, so if he doesn't do it, I think you're right. Bentley is a good option. He's got a ton of receivers, so that could be the right one there.
Just for our non-gamblers, if I put $100 on it, that means I get 600 if he is
right.
Okay, all right, yeah, that's the one I'm looking at.
But that's kind of why I like Joe Burrow all the way down there at plus 300, because, you know, what a lot of people probably don't...
3,000, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, plus 3,000. What a lot of people who don't follow LSU may not know, the Tigers have a really good receiving core. They got a Texas Tech transfer who, I saw an interesting stat, he put up, I think he had 69 catches and 15 touchdowns and some incredible yardage number. And someone tweeted out that was more than any LSU receiver in 11 years. So,
golly.
So they got that guy, and they got a couple other young players. And I think there's a good chance, you know, everyone's a little down on LSU. If Joe Burrow, you know, if he is the real deal, he starts. We've kind of seen his arm a little bit there at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
I could see LSU getting behind in some games, being able to force the ball. They don't really have a great running back. You know, they do have a good line, but
yeah,
I think there's a chance. There's a chance that Joe Burrow comes in and just kind of throws for a ton of yardage this year, just with those receivers. And I think that's a really under the radar pick.
Hey, what do you got to lose? You know, throw $20 on it and you may make some money.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, that's all I've got. You got anything before we wrap this one up?
Yeah, just one thing. This Urban deal, this Urban situation, we're kind of sneaking up on that 14-day mark.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, usually when you see these news dumps, it's usually on a Friday late afternoon. And so hopefully it's not big of a talking point Monday. So don't be – I think – personally, don't be surprised if you see something come out with a 3 or 4 game suspension tomorrow with Urban. Have you heard anything on that?
I have not, but that's a very good point. And I think, you know, that's something that is, you're probably exactly right. They're going to want to avoid the negative news. So they're probably going to push that out late Friday evening. That's when Urban Meyer came out with his statement. That's when Zach Smith did his ESPN interview.
Because everybody's focused on this Maryland thing right now, and I think when you see something like that, this is like their media guys probably like, this is the best time to do it. So I fully expect to hear something from Ohio State tomorrow or today if you're listening to this in the morning.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, Shane, that's all I got. We were a little drunken up on this one, I guess you'd say. Hopefully the next one's a little bit better, but thanks as always for tuning in.
Oh, hey, real quick, man. I appreciate all the listeners, especially ones that took the time to give us a rating on iTunes. That really means a lot. We do have 3 new reviews, so I want to just read those off real quick. This one's from Ogle. Says, love these guys. Keeps me informed with everything going on in the SEC. So I appreciate that. Another one's from Jarvis, 5-star. Just putting in my 5-star heart for this 5-star pod. Keep up the good work, fellas. Love the show. So I appreciate that, Jarvis. And the last one here, fun show. This is from NES Buddha. Cool name. I like it. These two cats compliment each other well. I've listened to 10 shows or so, and I'm looking forward to the next episode every day. I like their occasional sound effects out of nowhere. keeps up keep up the couple of golly, I gotta stop drinking, Mike. Keep it up, you couple of SEC homers.
Yeah, that's awesome. We appreciate it, and that's why we're doing this, man. We didn't want to let you guys down on your Friday drive to work or work or drive home or what have you. So hopefully this one's not that shitty.
Yeah, and one last thing we're going to close out with. Again, we appreciate the reviews. We got some mailbag questions. If you got any more, feel free to tweet me or Mike. So we're going to dive more into that tomorrow. But a little clip I did on Twitter was the coach at West Virginia. He was doing his press conference. I didn't see much about the coach, so I wanted to see what was going on up there. And the first 20 minutes, he's talking about this food that they got up there. And I thought it was hilarious because here you got Pruitt on the other side just talking about football and fundamentals and what to expect. So we're going to close out with it's a combination. It's going to go back and forth between West Virginia's coach and, of course, Tennessee's coach. So I hope you all enjoy, and we'll see you all tomorrow. Oh, go Vols. All right.
I'm just going to leave it like that, too. They're going to be like, what the fuck?
Steaks and chicken and cornbread, corn on the cob.
And, you know, I hope that our players, whether they play quarterback, they play D-tackle, they're the punter, the long snapper, I hope their number one goal is not to be the starter at Tennessee. I hope that's not their goal. That's not much of a goal, in my opinion. I hope their goal is to be the best player at their position out there.
Fresh green beans, cauliflower mixed in with olive oil and bacon, onions. It's really good. Baked potatoes, bacon, butter, sour cream, olive oil on the outside is really good.
Every day, every practice, every opportunity says a lot about who you are. You know, if you don't love this game, you're probably not going to be very good at it.
I had like three different kinds of pastas, chicken, shrimp, sausage, you know, with whatever kind of sauce you want, whether you want white sauce.
Guys, you know, we got some guys that I feel like can play winning football. They have the talent. They have the want to. We got to teach them the kind of the know-how, how we want it done.
Yeah. I stopped in and got some sushi on my way home. That was our appetizer while I was cooking.
That's really what we're striving to do. So today was the first opportunity to actually play football.
Skip that. I go over to the omelet station. So I went over to the omelet station because it's brunch. And it has 100 different kinds of omelets and all that. And I'm like, that looks pretty good too. It's pork tenderloin and salmon. So it had just 100 different options when it comes to this. So I settled for a salmon salad.
What's going to happen? We're going to whoop their fucking ass.